Welcome to the Archer Institute blog in audio. Today's article is A Strata Committee's Legal Duties Under the Strata Schemes Management Act 2015.
And if you've ever been asked to join your strata committee or you're weighing up whether to put your hand up, this is the article to read first.
Because here's the thing most people don't realize. Joining a strata committee sounds like a community favor. You volunteer, you help out your neighbors, you show up to a few meetings a year. But the moment you're elected, you take on real legal duties under NSW law.
Under the Strata Schemes Management Act 2015, specifically.
Right. And the article points out that most committee members are volunteers. Few have a legal background. That gap is exactly why committees get caught out.
So let's go through the main duties. Where does the article start?
With the most fundamental one. A committee acts for the owner's corporation, which is every lot owner in the scheme combined. Not one owner, not a faction, and not the committee member pushing a particular view.
Which sounds obvious, but you can see how easily that slips. Someone wants a new gate near their end of the building. A decision gets made that suits the front owners, but not the rear.
Exactly. The committee's job is to weigh the scheme's overall interest, act in good faith, and make decisions for proper reasons. Acting honestly and reasonably is the standard members are held to under the Act.
Okay, records are next, and I know this is where a lot of committees fall down.
They do. The owner's corporation has to keep proper documentation. The article lists what that generally covers. Minutes of meetings, financial accounts, the strata role of owners, correspondence, and core documents like the insurance policy and the registered bylaws.
And it makes the point that this isn't bureaucracy for its own sake.
No. Good records protect the scheme. When an owner asks to inspect documents, when a dispute comes up, or when a new committee takes over, clean and complete records are the difference between a smooth handover and a mess. They also make annual reporting at the AGM a lot easier.
What about the physical building, common property?
That's the third duty, maintaining and repairing common property. Common property is everything owned collectively rather than by an individual lot owner. Think shared walls, the roof, common stairwells, lifts, gardens, external pipes.
And the committee manages that work day to day.
And crucially, the duty is active, not optional. Letting common property fall into disrepair can lead to safety issues, owner complaints, and orders through NCAT requiring the work to be done.
NCAT being the NSW Civil and Administrative Tribunal.
Correct. So the committee should plan for maintenance, respond to faults promptly, and keep a clear record of what has been done.
Let's talk money, because that's often where things get complicated.
The owner's corporation holds funds raised through levies. There are generally two. The administrative fund covers everyday running costs. The capital works fund covers major works over the longer term.
And the committee oversees how that money is collected, held, and spent.
Responsible fund management means budgeting realistically, spending within what the owners have approved, keeping the accounts in order, and not letting the capital works fund run dry.
Because if it does...
Special levies, which nobody wants. The article calls that out directly.
Good. Conflicts of interest. This one comes up a lot in practice.
It does. A committee member might run a business that could do the scheme's gardening, or have a personal stake in a decision about a particular lot. The duty is not to avoid every conflict. That's often impossible in a small community. The duty is to disclose it and manage it openly.
So you declare it, so the rest of the committee and the owners can see the decision is being made in the scheme's interest.
Hiding a conflict is what erodes trust and what gets decisions challenged. For the exact disclosure rules that apply to your scheme, the article says to confirm those with NSW Fairtraden.
Before we get to the practical steps, there's one thing I think is worth raising. Just because a scheme has a strata managing agent doesn't mean the committee is off the hook.
Really important point. The agent administers the scheme. The committee decides. The duties stay with the elected owners. The article flags that split as one of the most common sources of confusion.
So what does the article say someone should actually do with all of this?
Five things. Read the Act and your scheme's bylaws so you know the framework you're working within. Keep records as you go, not in a scramble before the AGM. Treat the Capital Works Fund as a long-term obligation, not a balance to run low. Declare conflicts early and openly. And when you're unsure, ask NSW Fair Trading or your strata managing agent before you act.
That last one. Ask before you act, not after.
The single most practical thing a new committee member can do is read the Act and their scheme's bylaws before the first meeting, not halfway through a dispute.
The full article is on the Archer Institute blog, and it links through to related guides on AGMs, the Capital Works Fund, dispute resolution pathways, and the strata manager versus strata committee split.
And if you want to go deeper on the role and the duties, Archer Institute offers a strata member CPD course that walks through the Strata Schemes Management Act 2015 and good governance in plain English. It's online, self-paced, and built for volunteers who want to get it right.
Nationally recognized training, real Australian-based support.
You can call Archer Institute on 1-800-069-273. Thanks for listening.